there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
For me, it's a gain to be here. I love being in Bristol. So I was really pleased to say yes, and here we are. And I get to start our new series, which we're starting across all of our church locations. If you are new, we're one church based in a few different locations, and I'm one of the pastors from the Gloucester location. And we're starting a new series today. So what we'll do for a certain window of time, we'll focus on a particular topic, look at the Bible and unpack it and apply it to our lives. And the series that we're starting today is called Bothered. I don't know if I'm in the way or not, but Bothered. That's what we're gonna talk about today. I was at a wedding on Friday with my school friends and got to spend the day with them, and it was great. And they know what I do for a job, so my job is a pastor. So they call me Rev, is what they call me. And they were like, are you preaching soon, Rev? I was like, yeah, actually, I'm preaching on Sunday. Like, what are you preaching on? You know when you're like, they've all got beer in their hands. Like, do you actually want me to? And the amount of times we've had conversations like this, and it just leads to ridicule on my part. So I was like, well, you know, I'm going to preach on this. And I start explaining. One of them just says, it sounds awful. The other one was like, no, it doesn't. It sounds great. You're going to do a great job, Nath. So thank you, my drunken friends from Friday. So hopefully I don't disappoint them. Bothered. But it's funny enough to mention those friends. So I've known them since school. So this is 15-year friendships that I've got with these guys. And they're wonderful people. And I think when push comes to shove, a lot of them, and I've had loads of great conversations about faith with them in the past and been able to pray with them for things in the past. Some of them have come to faith. Some of them are on their own journey. A lot of them, I think, believe in God. So they say, if I were to say, how did the universe come into being? How is life here? A lot of them would actually say, you know what, I do believe in God. I think where they may stop or check out is when you would present the idea that God is actually involved in our lives, and God is active, and God moves, and God is actually interested in them. So the fancy word for that belief system or worldview is deism. This idea, it's not that fancy. You just Google, and that's it's not that fancy. Deism, basically the idea that God made everything and then checked out. So God made the world, and then he's not involved in it. So, but the Christian worldview presents a very different picture of God. So that yes, he's the creator. Yes, he made everything. But then he's very, very, very interested in humans. And he's actually very interested and consistently bothers us and is interested in our lives. And we could go through all of Scripture and look at loads of different accounts and loads of different moments where God bothers humans. And in the best way, pokes them, prods them, speaks to them, encourages them, calls them, nudges them. And it's something that I believe he hasn't stopped doing. That for each and every one of us, God wants to bother us a little bit, to call us. And we can look at stories of when God bothered Abraham, called him out of his tent into the land that was unknown, or bothered Moses, got him back from the wilderness to go and free his people, or bothered David and took him from being a shepherd to a warrior, or bothered the disciples and said, come and follow me, bothered Peter, got him out of a boat. Walk on water, moments where God just bothers people. And the idea of this series then is that we're going to look at different characters in the Bible where God bothered them, and learn some lessons from that, and ask ourselves what does that look for us today? And the title of my message, so I'm going to talk about the character in a second that I'm going to unpack, we're going to unpack together. But the title of my message is this, it's Can I Be Bothered? Could you just say that to the person next to you in Can I be bothered? Can I be bothered? Can I be bothered? So that's the title. And if you've got a Bible, you can turn here with me. We're going to read this together. So it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the title of it in my Bible is The Lord Calls Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 3. The context is this, that Samuel's mother prayed that she would have a son. God answers that prayer. And in response, she devotes her son's life to God. So she gives him over to being brought up in God's house. And so he is a man that's been brought up in the presence of God to serve him. And it says this, the boy Samuel, so I'm going to read from verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, and note this because we're going to come back to this at the end. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God was not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of, the God, of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." That's a conversation I have with my kids every night. Every night. Like, "Why are you calling me? I didn't call you. Go away." I love my kids dearly. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. They just don't sleep. This is more therapy for me. You'll realize this. All my anecdotes are going to circle back to that. So go back and lie down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." We'll stop that there. Can we pray together before we carry on? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the time of worship that we've had where we can just fix our attention on you. And we pray, Lord, as Samuel prayed, that you would speak to us today. Help us to hear what you want to say to us. Speak so clearly through your word, and would we all of us leave this place different, changed and challenged, ready to live the lives you want us to. We pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. So there is an account of a moment where God bothered a young man, woke him up, bothered him. And I wonder, when was the last time you were bothered, like bothered enough, bothered so much that you had to act? Like you were bothered so much, something's frustrated you so much. We've got this morning down at the front here. Something bothered you so much that you needed to act and change it. So it could be the moment where, you know, there's like a dripping tap and you have to go and like, that's just bothering me so much. I need to go and like, just get that off. Or I can't sleep with a ticking clock. I just can't do it. So if ever I'm in a different place and there's a clock that's ticking, it will bother me so much that I need to act and take it off the wall or break it or move it. There was one time, so in the summer recently, our garden kind of like is interlocked with loads of other gardens. I was bothered so much that I needed to act because one of our neighbours had installed a cat alarm. You know those things where there's a motion and there's a high pitch, yeah? My wife couldn't hear the high pitch frequency. She's a year older than me. She's not here, that's why I'm able to do it that way. But what happened was he installed it, and then a blade of grass, or a bit of grass, had grown up above the sensor. So literally every time I went out into my garden, there was this like ear-piercing, ding, 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 and you know the noise where it moves your ears? Like, oh, and it bothered me, and I would like moan. I would moan to the kids, I'd moan to Lauren, I'd moan to the neighbors who were indifferent, who I could speak to. "Can you hear that thing? It's so noisy." And it bothered me so much, I said to Lauren one day, like, I'm gonna go and have a word. Like, because this is just ridiculous. Like, I thought the battery had run out, I thought the grass would move, and it was in, you know, we had that blistering summer, didn't we? So we needed to be outside, it was bothering me so much. So I plucked up the courage. I'd never seen this neighbor before, like, because they live adjacent. But you know when, like, I plucked up the courage, I was walking around, and you know when you're, like, building arguments in your head? Well, if he says this, then I'm gonna say this. If he says this, I'm gonna say, well, you're ruining my children's lives. They've gone deaf already. You know, just to, like, really, like, embellish the story that I wasn't willing to lie, I think. It was bothering me that much. But I go and sort of like, I feel like I'm going to give this guy a piece of my mind. I knock on the door, and then the door opens, and it's this 6-foot-something gentleman. Like, my tone changed so quickly. I was like, sorry to bother you. And like, for a split second, I thought about like going, oh, it's not worth it. Like, he looks kind of scary. He looks like I've bothered him already, wanted to apologize and just go. But I thought, no, this has ruined my summer so far. I need to change this. I need to act. It's bothered me enough. Bless him, I said, hey, the cat alarm, It's not me, it's my wife. She's really moaning about it. she sent me here. I didn't want to come. But he changed it. He got the blades of grass out of the way, and then it was fine. But I was bothered enough to act. And it's true, isn't it, that when we're bothered enough, we act. We want to bring about change. And I think that God wants to bother us into action. And he wants us to be bothered for the things that bother him. To bothered enough, because when we're bothered enough, we act. And it is so true in all of our faith, because like whilst there's a dynamic of the Christian faith which says like we should receive like peace and a sense of contentment and God will transform us and make us whole, like that's true. But what is also true is that it's a mandate that's placed on us to then take the goodness of God and bring it to our world and to see things change and to bring about transformation and to see the hope and the goodness of and love of God like shared with our world. And like we see this tension in the Lord's Prayer. Like we're told Jesus tells us how to pray. And so in the prayer, he says, give us today, we're to pray like this. Give us today our daily bread. So like that to me speaks of like, God, for today, help me to become content with what you've given me. Like help me to know that you're my provider, that I'm good with what I need. But right before that, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. So really, if there's something which is different to God's will, or if like we see something in our lives or see something in our world or in our families or in our workplaces, it's like, that's not what God would want. Well, that's not what it's like in heaven. That should bother us a little bit. And we're told to pray like your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. So there's this tension, isn't there? Like, God, I'm content with what you've given me. I'm content with who you've called me to be. Like, I'm content with like all that's around me, but there's things that need to change. And like we're called, I think, to exist in that tension and to allow God to bother us for things, like to just prompt us and to nudge us and to say, hey, that's not right. I want you to act. I want you to do something about it. And for me, like the beautiful thing about the church is this, is that when it comes to what God bothers us with and the things he puts on our heart, like what bothers you is different to what bothers me. Like it's different, isn't it? Like there's what will annoy me will be different to what annoys you, and what really gets under my skin will be different to what gets under yours. And to put this in the context of church then, and like what God will call us to do, for years now, I've been like bothered on like a fundamental level, like the deep down, it bothers me when young people don't know who they are. They don't recognize their potential. They don't know how loved they are. They don't know how much God loves them. They don't recognize like how God's got a plan and a future and a purpose for them. And it bothers me when I see them living for the wrong thing and going after the wrong thing and getting trapped and caught up in so many lies. That bothers me so much that I have in fact given so much of my life to helping that generation find hope, find freedom, and find Jesus, the Jesus that I know, the Jesus that I met when I was young. It bothers me enough to act. But youth ministry isn't for everyone. Like Tim travelled with me today. This is Tim, the youth pastor from Gloucester. He's with us today. He's an excellent driver, kept me safe on the flooded motorway. We got here, didn't we, Tim? But it's bothered Tim enough too that he will give like voluntarily hours of his week. He'll give up Friday nights to help young people find Jesus. So he's bothered to act. But it's different for each and every one of us. Like there's guys next door. So I saw Danny going off. That was so funny when the kids just ran out. I loved that. When Danny went out with all the kids, like it's the same idea, but just with kids. Like kids bother me too much for me to be bothered by kids. I can handle my own, but that's a gift, isn't it? Like for those people to do kids ministry. But I know people that are bothered by poor administration. So they act and they help. And they help administrate and plan, and that's a gift. And I love this, because when God bothers a church, a bothered church is a mobilized church. When God starts nudging us and starts putting things on our hearts, it's different for you than it will be for me, but we become mobilized to act and to bring about his will and to see his kingdom come and his will done on earth as it is in heaven. And I love seeing that in this church in particular. Like I saw the creation carry that you guys did yesterday. That's brilliant. That's like meeting a need that's in this community. But that really starts by being bothered. Yeah. You know, like it should bother us that there are people in this community that don't have what they need, that can't maybe provide for their family, that are lonely. That should bother us. And it bothers us. I'm saying us as if I was here, but you know, it should bother us enough to act. And that's, I think, so, and just, I was praying about this for today, that it's okay if we're bothered. It's okay if we're frustrated, and arguably, we should be. We should be a little bit like, that shouldn't be that way. We should be a little bit frustrated and bothered. And if we're truly content, so content that we never do anything, like, I don't think God's happy with that, because there are things that bother him. There's things that he wants us to do and to act on. And a bothered church is a mobilized church. So the question, again, remember my title, the question is this, is can I be bothered? And rather than we use that in like, can I be bothered to go make a cup of tea? I want us to reflect on that in the, well, can I be bothered? Like, am I allowing God to bother me? Like, is that a possibility in my life? Can I be bothered? And I want to use the story we read at the beginning just to pull that apart a little bit. Can I be bothered? Because there's this amazing quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer that says, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. See, there are things that you and I can do to get ourselves in the right space, in the right, with the right posture, if you want, to be bothered. And that, conversely, there are things that we can do where we say, actually, I can't be bothered. And the story that we read at the beginning where Samuel hears the voice of God, I think it's really helpful. And it will give us some things just to reflect on, I hope, as we go about the rest of this series. So I know Pastor Mike's going to speak next week and just unpack a few more characters. But as we do, I hope these things will really help us. Two questions I want to throw your way for consideration. And they are this. Ready? Yeah. Number one, they are, am I hearing? Number two, am I hiding? Number one, am I hearing? Two, am I hiding? So Samuel heard the voice of God. He heard God speak. And we could go into like different things about what that means and what that looks like. Is that an audible voice of God, or is that more like a state of understanding? Is it reading his word? Is it hearing the prophetic voice of God through another, bringing an encouragement? But we could unpack that. What I wanted to focus on is this. Samuel heard the voice of God, and we read it. He was in close proximity to the presence of God. So, like, hands up who's ever been on a tour, like a guided tour of a city. Has anyone ever been on those, you know, where you've got a tour guides, yeah, and they carry around usually an umbrella, so you know where they are. The bigger the tour, the, you know, they have to have this like banner, don't they, as you walk around. I went on one of Berlin once, and that was great. They were just a fascinating city. Like, walking around this city, this person had this, it wasn't an umbrella, but I can't remember what it was. It's nothing to do with my message now. This isn't going to help anyone, but I'm walking around. Like, and we know this. Like, who heard the tour guide the best? There was about 40 of us. Who was it that heard the tour guide the best in that group? The people closest to the tour guide. And the people that were, like, off taking selfies or just getting distracted or going to coffee shops, they didn't really hear what the tour guide was saying. They didn't really get much from the tour because they were just effectively wandering around with 40 people. But those of us that really wanted to lean in, really wanted to hear what the tour guide was saying, we were right there close to the umbrella. I call it an umbrella. That's annoying me now. I can't remember what it was. Right there next to the umbrella. And the same is true when it comes to our faith. That in order to hear God clearly, the challenge on us is like, well, how close am I to God? What's my proximity to him? Like, this is a time in like sort of biblical history where the presence of God resided in a place, and we saw that Samuel was close to the ark. What we believe now is that by the Holy Spirit, like, the presence of God is everywhere and is accessible to all of us, like in the car or in the church here or in the workplace, but still we can be far from God. Still our lives can be really, really noisy. There's so much chatter, isn't there, in the world today? So much information. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes the first thing that I reach for in the morning is my phone. And I'm just looking at, like, I catch myself sometimes. Like, why am I looking at this? Like, why am I scrolling? This isn't helping me set my day up. This is just noise. This is just clutter. And then I'm onto that, and then the boys are there, and I'm just getting breakfast before I know it. I'm out the door, and I'm onto what I'm doing first thing, and I'm not given a moment just to hear God, just to stop, just to... Like, God, what is it you might want to say to me today? God, do you want to speak to me today? Like, what do you want me to do in my workplace today, or in my school today, or in my friendship group today? Like, is there something, God, that you're trying to tell me? And how great would it be if all of us could just make space in our day, just to quiet the noise a little bit. That's what church is great for, because we have this moment where we can just quiet the noise down a little bit and just focus on God. But to do that every day, God, I want to put myself in a place where I'm in close proximity to you, where I can hear your voice, where I want you to speak to me. Like, what would we discover? Like, what would we start hearing or doing? Like, would we allow ourselves to be a little bit more bothered by the things that bother him? I know for me, my life can be just so hectic and so noisy that I just carry on with the to-do list. And there are things that God wants to bother me for, burden me for, nudge me toward, that I may be missing because my life's just a little bit too noisy. Say, what was your name, sorry?
Carly.
Carly, you did a great job singing, Carly, first time today. Excellent, yeah. Well, now say for example, through Church Suite, I managed to get Carly's number. And I call Carly tomorrow and just go, hey, it's me. And Carly's like, who? Oh, it's Nathan. Oh, preach it. That would be confusing. This is a bad analogy. Let's go over here. Okay. All right, I'm trying to see. So, what was your name, sorry?
Andy.
Andy, okay. Sorry, Carly. Yeah, you keep Nathan as your husband. Andy. Yeah, there's no confusion here. Andy, I ring you tomorrow and I say, hey, it's me. You're like, who? Oh, it's Nathan. Oh, the guy that preached yesterday. Yes. Like, you're right, yeah, I'm just checking in to see how you're doing. Okay, good. And then we have a conversation, hang the phone up. If I ring the next day, hey, it's me. Who? Oh, it's Nathan. Like, if I did that for 3 months in a row, A, you're getting a restraining order against me. Like, because that, you know. Yeah. But B, you're going to recognize my voice quite quickly. Yeah. And I think the challenge is on us. If we can get something every day in our lives where we can get close to the voice of God, we begin to recognize the voice of God, we begin to recognize when he's speaking. Samuel didn't know it at first, did he? He was like, is that Eli calling? Because he hadn't yet been introduced to the word of God, what it sounded like. But if we can get a moment in our lives every day where we hear God's voice, we hear what he's asking of us, he's reminding us of like what his word says, we become sensitive to it and we know what he wants us to do. So the question, am I hearing? I'm not actually going to call you Andy, don't worry. Yeah. Am I hearing? The second one then is, am I hiding? So what I love, what Samuel did, is he responded in the best way. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Right? Speak to me, because I'm your servant. And I'm gonna do what you asked me to do. If you bother me for something, if you put something on my heart, if you nudge me towards something, I'm going to act. I'm going to be brave. He didn't roll back over. He didn't hide under his cover. You know that amazing feeling in the morning where the alarm goes off and all you want to do is just roll back over again. He didn't do that. He got up. He was like, okay, speak. I'm ready. I'm ready to move. What do you want me to do? And as I was reflecting on this, I reflected and thought, it's so easy for us. So yes, we can hear maybe what God wants us to do. We can know that there's a need that he might want us to meet. But then it's so easy to hide. And it's one thing hearing God's voice, it's another thing then acting. It's one thing knowing what he wants us to do, it's another thing doing it. And there are so many reasons why we hide. Samuel could have gone, I'm tired now, this is the third time you've woken me up. He was young, I'm too young, God. What God asked him to do was to bring a really challenging word to Eli the next day. Read the story on it, it's amazing. And then what Samuel, he becomes a prophet, becomes God's mouthpiece for the people at the time. It's amazing, but he learned to hear God and then to act on it. But he didn't provide any excuses. He didn't hide behind them. We could say, I'm not ready. I'm not the guy. There's someone else that could do this. What I wanted to focus in on as I was praying for you guys today was this particular reason why we hide. And it is this idea that we're not good enough to act. That God should pick someone else. That people that bring about God's will, or people that bring change, or bring solution or transformation, those people are the superheroes of the faith. They're the people that have got it all together, that get it. But me, I'm not that guy. I'm not that person. Like, God, surely God can't use me where I am to do what he wants to be done. And I want to go back. So in Genesis, there's this amazing, you've got the account of the fall in Genesis where we see Adam and Eve, they sin, they fall away from God. And there's this moment in that story. So Genesis 3:10, where God goes looking for them. So they sin, they're embarrassed, they're ashamed, and they hide. And God goes looking for them. It says this in Genesis 3:10. So, but the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And then God said, "Who told you you were naked?" So Adam feels exposed, ashamed, vulnerable, weak. So he hides. He hides himself away from God. And God's question is, well, who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were vulnerable and exposed? Who are you listening to now? Talking about my boys, like every morning this happens, where Caleb will ask me for something, usually breakfast. So I'm like, "Oh, Caleb, do you want porridge?" "Yes, porridge." And then Levi, my one-year-old, will just say, "No porridge, Caleb." and then Caleb will go, "Yes, porridge." And then Levi, "No porridge." And they start arguing, like, and about so many things. So like, "Hey, do you want a drink, Caleb?" Like, yes, I'll have water, please." "No water, Caleb." Like, he'll just say like, "No." But Caleb gets so frustrated. He's like, "Yes, water." And then they start having a screaming match. He's like, "No, yes, porridge. No porridge, yes, porridge." And then before I know it, I'm in the middle of going like, "Just stop screaming." But I'm like to Caleb, I'm like, your one-year-old brother has no authority to tell you what you're about to have. Your one-year-old brother has no say in this matter, but yet you're allowing him to wind you up. You're listening to him like he's the loudest voice in the equation. And I think sometimes when we feel God's asking us to do something, we elevate the voice of something different to say, "Here's why I'm not good enough," or "Here's why I'm not the person. I'm too weak, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too vulnerable, I'm too inexperienced, I'm too tired, I'm too ill-equipped, I'm too poor, I'm too inarticulate, I'm not intelligent enough. God, the solution that you're wanting to bring in my school, in my workplace, like in society, we can have big dreams that God places on our heart. I'm not the guy." And God, I think, wants to ask us the question, well, who told you? Who told you that? Like, who are we listening to? Are you listening to that voice, or are you going to listen to me? Who told you that you were exposed and vulnerable? Who told you that you weren't good enough? Is it not I that puts words in the mouths of people, is what he said to Moses when Moses tried telling the same thing. "I can't speak, sorry. No, Caleb, no water, no porridge." And we're like, we get so caught up, don't we, with our doubts and with the words that hang over us and what other people have said maybe, or we just tell ourselves with that inner narrative. Like, who told you? And if God bothers us enough for something and calls us to action, he'll equip us for it. And I want to say this to someone here, that like, no one else is coming. That sometimes we hear these things and we think, God, yes, I can see a need. I can see that that person needs to be spoken to or prayed for or encouraged. I can see that someone needs to give financially to that need, or someone should start something in that area, or someone should start a Christian union in my workplace. Yeah, that would be a great idea. And then we kind of like look around, like, can't wait for that person to come, you know. But no one else is coming. Like, we're it. And if you and I can get to a place where we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, smart enough, rich enough, fast enough, young enough, old enough, like insert whatever reason we might want to hide behind. But if we can get to a place where we go, God, if you want to bother me for something, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Yeah. If we could do that every day, like, what do you think we could see happen in our spaces, workplaces, like the people that are represented in this room? Like, I'm never going to speak to a lot of your family members, like maybe like this, and likewise, you're never going to speak to mine, but they're there in my world for me, like the people in your world are there for you, and God wants to use you in those spaces like he wants to use me in mine. So I very much look back to my friends at the wedding. I know I'm their pastor. Like, they're not going to come to church anytime soon. I'm believing in Jesus' name that they will eventually. But for now, it's me. It's that wonderful idea that I'm the only Bible they're ever going to read, for now. So God, I don't want to take that responsibility lightly. And if there's something you want me to speak to them about, or if there's something you want to burden me for, like, God, do it. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. So the two questions that we can reflect on. So, am I listening? And am I hiding? And maybe as we, guys, you can come up. Maybe as we go about this series, that could be something that just helps frame it a little bit, like a personal challenge. But I'll finish on this. And it's something just to encourage you guys about, and really I want to pray into in a second. My friend knew I was going to speak today from another church. And he was praying for me and praying for you. And he said he felt, when I shared what I was going to talk about, he felt God highlight, and he said this could be a prophetic word, or he could just be making it up, either way, take it or leave it. God wanted to highlight the beginning. So we read 1 Samuel 3, verses 1, and it says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." And he said he felt so strongly that God wanted to say to this church specifically that that's not going to be the case here. That when we think of the word of God, what it does, the word of God in the beginning, God spoke, and then there was life, there was order in chaos. And we read in Psalm, as we were encouraged to read by Em today, that your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. The word of God illuminates, it brings life, it brings freedom and truth and clarity. What the word of God does, it brings amazing transformation. He said, the word of God won't be rare in this church. But that this would be a house of miracles. This would be a house where prophecy is given, where visions are given, where dreams are dreamt, and where the community is reached. And what I love, again, it's already happening. Yeah. And like, I just want to encourage you in that. I think you guys are trailblazing away for the rest of our churches to look on and go, that's brilliant. And we're cheering you on. And keep going. Keep allowing God to bother you for what bothers him. Like, what we can do on a corporate level in our churches is amazing like that. So as we come together and go, God, I want to hear you speak to me every day. God, I want to play my part. Like, what do you want me to be bothered by? Give me the courage, God, to hear you, but then to not hide from you, but to act on it. And we do that, but then also as a church, like, we're going to act and move and bring about the will of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This will be a house where the word of God is not rare. Where every week someone could come and receive revelation. It could be of who Jesus is, I want to accept Jesus into my life, or what God wants us to do next.